analyst Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. It's Joe McGee. We're going through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, but in chronological order, as it happened, because the Bible's not written in chronological order. It's written from the biggest book to the shortest book. So we're doing it as it happened, like the true story. And so it's really, really good. So we're in the story of Joseph. Incredible story. They made a couple of movies about it, and they really did a pretty good job. So we're picking up in Genesis chapter 45, starting in verse 1. Great story. The boys have gone. They're trying to get food out of Egypt because there's a famine in the land. And so, man, it's been a mess. So verse 1 of Genesis 45, Joseph reveals his identity. Joseph could not stand it any longer. There were many people in the room, and he said to his attendants, out, every one of them. So he was alone with his brothers, and he told them who he was. Then they broke down and they cried. They wept so loudly the Egyptians could hear him. And word of it quickly went to Pharaoh's palace. I am Joseph, he said to his brothers. Is my father still alive? But the brothers were speechless. They were stunned to realize that Joseph was standing there in front of them. Please come closer, he said to them. So they came closer. He said to them again, I am Joseph, your brother, who you sold into slavery in Egypt. But don't be upset. Don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. This famine that has ravaged the land for 2 years will last 5 more years. There will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God sent me ahead of you to keep you and your families alive and to preserve many survivors. So it was God who sent me here, not you. He is the one who made me an advisor to Pharaoh, the manager of the entire palace and the governor of all of Egypt. Now hurry back to my father. Tell him what you've seen. This is your son, Joseph. It's what he says. God has made me master over all the land of Egypt. So come down to me immediately. You can live in the region of Goshen, where you can be near me and with all of our children and your grandchildren, your flocks and your herds and everything you own. I will take care of you there. There are still 5 years of famine ahead of us. Otherwise, your household and all your animals will starve. Then Joseph added, look, you can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that I really am Joseph. Go tell my father the honor position here in Egypt. Describe for him everything you have seen. Then bring my father here quickly. Weeping with joy, he embraced Benjamin. Benjamin did the same. Joseph kissed each of his brothers, and he wept over them. And after they began talking freely with him, the news soon reached Pharaoh's palace. Joseph's brothers have arrived. Pharaoh and his officials were all delighted to hear this. Pharaoh said to Joseph, tell your brothers, this is what you do. Load your pack animals and hurry back to the land of Canaan. Then get your father and all your families to return here to me. I will give you the best land in Egypt. Then you will eat from the best of the land, that the best land that it produces. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, tell your brothers the wagons from the land of Egypt to carry your little children, your wives, take wagons, and then bring them all here. Don't worry about your personal belongings, for the best of the land of Egypt is yours. So the sons of Jacob did as they were told, provided them the wagons as Pharaoh had commanded. Then he gave them supplies for the journey, and each of them new clothes. But to Benjamin, he gave 5 changes of clothes, 300 pieces of silver. Then he also sent his father male donkeys. Woo, I'm telling you, he got male donkeys loaded with the finest products, 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread and other supplies that they would need on their journey. Joseph sent his brothers off. As they left, he called them, don't quarrel about this along the way. As they left Egypt, they returned to their father, Jacob, in the land of Canaan. Joseph is still alive, he told him. He is governor of all the land of Egypt. Jacob was stunned at the news. He couldn't believe it. When they repeated that Joseph, everything Joseph had told them, when he saw the wagons that they had sent back, their father's spirit revived. Then Jacob explained, it must be true. My son Joseph is alive. I must go and see him before I die. So in chapter 46, Jacob sent out for Egypt all its possessions. When they came to Beersheba, he offered sacrifice to the God of his father, Isaac. During the night, God spoke to him in a vision. Jacob, Jacob, he called. I'm here, Jacob replied. I'm the God of your father, the boy said. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for there I will make your family into a great nation. I will go down to Egypt, and I will bring you back again. You will die in Egypt, but Joseph will be with you, close to you. Close your eyes. So Jacob left Beersheba, and his sons took him to Egypt. They carried with them the little ones and their wives and their wagons. Pharaoh had provided for everything for them. They took their livestock and all their personal belongings that they'd acquired in the land of Canaan. So Jacob and his entire family went to Egypt. Sons, his grandsons, his daughters, his granddaughters, all the descendants. Their names are the descendants of Israel, the sons of Jacob. They went to Egypt. Reuben, who was Jacob's oldest son, the sons of Reuben were Hanok, Palal, Hezron, and Carmi. And then it goes on and lists each of the brothers, all their kids, and their grandkids. So it gets down to the end of the list, the total number of Jacob's direct descendants who were with him in Egypt, not counting his sons and sons' wives, were 66. In addition, Joseph had two sons who were born in Egypt. So altogether, there were 70 members of Jacob's family in the land of Egypt. There's a lot we can do with this, and we'll come back to this later, but man, this is really good to read. God left a personal record about this. As they neared the destination, Jacob sent Judah ahead to meet Joseph and get directions to the region of Goshen. When they finally arrived there, Joseph prepared his chariot, traveled to Goshen to meet his father, Jacob. When Joseph arrived, they embraced one another. They cried, holding each other for a long time. Finally, Jacob said to Joseph, "Now I am ready to die, since I have seen your face again, know that you're still alive." And Joseph said to his brothers, to his family's entire father's entire family, "I will go to Pharaoh. I will tell him my brothers and my father's entire family have come to me in the land of Goshen, the land of Canaan. And these men are shepherds, and they raise livestock, and they brought with them their flocks and their herds and everything they own." Then he said, "When Pharaoh calls for you and asks about your occupation, you must tell him, 'We are servants. We have raised livestock all of our lives, as our ancestors have always done.' When you tell him, he will let you live here in this region of Goshen, for the Egyptians despise shepherds." Then Joseph went to see Pharaoh and told him, "My father and my brothers have arrived from the land of Canaan. They've come with all their flocks and their herds and possessions, and now they're in the region of Goshen." Joseph took five of his brothers with him and presented them to Pharaoh. Pharaoh asked his brothers, "What is your occupation?" They replied, "We are your servants. We are shepherds, just like our ancestors. We have come here in Egypt for a while, where there's no pasture for our flocks in Canaan. The famine is very severe there. So please, we request permission to live in the region of Goshen." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Now that your father and brothers have joined you here, choose a place in the entire land of Egypt for them to live in. Give them the best land of Egypt. Let them live in the region of Goshen. And if any of there have any special skills, put them in charge of my livestock." Then Joseph brought his father, Jacob, and presented him to Pharaoh. Jacob blessed Pharaoh. How old are you?" Pharaoh asked him. Jacob replies, "I've traveled the earth for 130 years. But my life has been short compared to the lives of my ancestors." Then Jacob blessed Pharaoh again before leaving the court. So Joseph assigned the best land in the region of Ramses to his father, to his brothers. They settled there, just as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph provided food for his father and his brothers in amounts appropriate to the number of their dependents, including the smallest children. Meanwhile, the famine became so severe that all the food was used up. The people were starving throughout the lands of Egypt and Canaan. By selling grain to the people, Joseph eventually collected all the money in Egypt and Canaan, and he put the money in Pharaoh's treasury. When the people of Egypt and Canaan ran out of money, all the Egyptians came to Joseph. "Our money's gone," they cried. "Please give us food, or we will die before your very eyes." Joseph replied, "Since your money's gone, bring your livestock. I will give you food in exchange for your livestock." So they brought their livestock to Joseph in exchange for food, in exchange for their horses, their flocks of sheep, their goats, their herds of cattle, their donkeys. Joseph provided them food for another year. But when that year ended, the next year they came again and said, "We cannot hide the truth from you, our Lord. Our money's gone. Our livestock, our cattle, they're yours. We have nothing to give you but our bodies and our land. Why should we die before your very eyes? Buy us and our land in exchange for food. We offer our land and ourselves as slaves for Pharaoh. Just give us grain that we may not die, so the land does not become empty and desolate. So Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. All the Egyptians sold him all their fields because the famine was so severe, and soon all the land belonged to Pharaoh. All the people made themselves slaves from one end of Egypt to the other. The only land they did not buy was the land belonging to the priests. They received the allotment of food directly from Pharaoh. They didn't need to sell the land. Then Joseph said to the people, "Look, they have bought you. I have bought you and your land for Pharaoh. I will provide for you the seed you can plant in the fields. Then when the harvest is in, one-fifth of your crops will belong to Pharaoh. You may keep the remaining four-fifths, all as seed for your fields, as food for you and your households, and for your little ones. You have saved our lives," they exclaimed. "May it please you, my Lord, to let us be Pharaoh's servants." Joseph then issued a decree that's been in effect in the land of Egypt, still in effect, that Pharaoh should receive one-fifth of the crops grown in that land. Only the land belonging to the priests was not given to Pharaoh. Meanwhile, the people of Israel settled in the region of Goshen. They acquired property. They were fruitful. Their population grew rapidly. Jacob lived there for 17 years after his arrival in Egypt. So he lived 147 years in all. At the time of Joseph's death drew near, Jacob called for his sons. Joseph said to him, "Please do me this favor. Put your hand under my thigh and swear to me that you will treat me with unfailing love for honoring this last request. Do not bury me in Egypt. When I die, please take my body out of Egypt and bury me with my ancestors." So Joseph promised, "I will do as you ask. Swear that you will do it." Jacob insisted. So Joseph gave an oath, and Jacob bowed humbly his head in his bed. It says this: "One day not long after, he gave his word to Joseph, 'Your father is failing rapidly.' So Joseph went to his father and took his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. When Joseph arrived, Jacob was told, 'Your son Joseph is here. He's come to see you.' So Jacob gathered his strength. He sat up in bed. Jacob said to Joseph, 'God Almighty appeared to me at Luz, the land of Canaan, and blessed me. He said, I will make you fruitful. I will multiply your descendants. I will make you a multitude of nations. I will give you this land of Canaan, your descendants, after you as an everlasting possession. Now I am claiming as my own sons these two boys of yours, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born here in the land of Egypt before I arrived. They will be my sons, just as Reuben and Simeon are. But any children born to you in the future will be your own. Then, and they will inherit land within the territories of their brothers Ephraim and Manasseh. Long ago, as I was returning from Padan Aram, Rachel died in the land of Canaan. We were still on the way, some distance from Ephraim, that is Bethlehem. So with great sorrow, I buried her there beside the road of Ephraim. Then Jacob took the two boys, said, 'Are these your sons?' He said, 'Yes.' Joseph said, 'These are the sons that God has given me here in Egypt.' And Joseph said, 'Bring them close to me that I can bless them.' Jacob was blind because of his age. He could hardly see. Joseph brought the boys close to him, and Jacob kissed them and embraced them. And Jacob said to Joseph, 'I never thought I would see your face again. Now God has let me see your children too.' Joseph moved the boys who were at their grandfather's knee, and he bowed his face to the ground. He positioned the boys in front of Jacob. With his right hand, he directed Ephraim before Jacob's left hand. With his left hand, he put Manasseh under Jacob's right hand. But Jacob crossed his arms as he reached out to lay hands on the boys. He put his right hand on the head of Ephraim, though he was the younger boy, and on his left hand, the head of Manasseh, though he was the firstborn. He blessed Joseph, saying, 'May the God before whom my grandfather Abraham, my father Isaac walked, and the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this very day, the angel who was redeeming from all harm, may he bless these boys. May they preserve my name and the names of Abraham and Isaac. May their descendants multiply greatly throughout the earth.' But Joseph was upset when he saw that his father placed the right hand on Ephraim's head So Joseph lifted the move from Ephraim's head to Manasseh. "No, my father," he said. "This one is my firstborn. Put your right hand on his head." But his father refused. "I know, my son. I know. Manasseh will become a great people, but his younger brother will become even greater. And the descendants will become a multitude of nations." So Jacob blessed the boys that day with this blessing. The people of Israel will use their names when they give a blessing. They would say, "May God make you prosperous as Ephraim and Manasseh." In this way, Jacob put Ephraim ahead of Manasseh. Then Jacob said to Joseph, "Look, I'm about to die, but God will be with you and will take you back to Canaan, the land of your ancestors, and beyond. And I've given you brothers. I'm giving you an extra portion of land so that I took from the Amorites by the sword and the bow." And that ends that chapter. Now, here's what I want to do. I've been to Israel 3 different times. And one of the fascinating things when you're there on the Sabbath, the family shut down for 24 hours. People don't work. They don't cook. You don't light a candle. You don't build a fire. And so they'll come into local hotels or kibbutzes, whatever. And for 24 hours, they have a 24-hour church service, basically, as we would see it in America. For 24 hours, they dance, they sing, they eat, they twirl. I mean, they're a noisy people. When the sun comes up the next morning, the fathers, not the mothers, get the kids up, get them dressed, and they take them to the local synagogue. Then when the meeting's over, the fathers bring them back from the synagogue, back to the hotel or kibbutz, wherever they're at. Moms do nothing on the Sabbath. They would love living in Israel, I promise you. Moms don't get anybody up. They don't feed anybody. They don't dress anybody. Dads do all of that. What's fascinating, every day at the end of the Sabbath, right before sundown, because it's a 24-hour Sabbath, right before sundown on the 24th hour, you'll see the families gather in circles. We were in a big kibbutz, big tall hotel, and the Jewish guide said, "Come out, and we want you to watch this." There was a balcony all the way around, and we were looking down on the floor. And it's, look what's happening. And they're putting all the families in a circle. So all the boys are in a circle from the oldest to the youngest. And the oldest male of the family gets in the middle of the circle. And he walks around. And the last thing they do on the Sabbath, the oldest man, usually the grandfather, walks in and lays hands on every male and prays this prayer in Hebrew. "May the Lord make you as Ephraim and Manasseh." They speak in Hebrew, but the interpreters tell us what he said. Then he goes to the next one, lays hand on. "May the Lord make you as Ephraim and Manasseh. May the Lord make you as Ephraim." And here's what he's saying in the modern English version. "May the Lord make you spiritually strong and economically creative." May God make you spiritually strong and economically creative. So can you imagine, as a Jewish child, you grew up your whole life, 52 times a year, your whole life, your father or your grandfather has laid hands on your head once a week and has prayed, "May God make you spiritually strong and economically creative." Can you imagine growing up in America and having somebody say that instead of "shut up, go to your room, you're not going to amount to a hill of beans, you're dumber than dirt"? Blessing is critical. The Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich." Call those things as though they be not. God told us to pass on a blessing to the next generation. So next time you see your kids, I don't care if they're 2, 12, or 22. Lay hands on, "Father, I bless my child. May God make this child spiritually strong and economically creative. May God make this child as Ephraim and Manasseh." That the promise is still intact. God still watches his word before me. So lay hands on your kids every now and then you get a chance. "Hey, come here, sugar. I'll lay hands. You don't have to close your head. I close your eyes, bow your head. I'll lay hands on your head. May God make you spiritually strong and economically creative." It is a blessing of God. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening today.
Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.